What it is, Brad Lee back again with another episode of Dropping Bombs. Today in the studio, folks, I got three treats for you. William Stern, Dean Lulkin, and Josh Messiah.
What's up?
Howdy.
What's going on, ladies?
What up, dude?
Not yet.
Lulkin's coming in hot.
Yeah, I get it.
Now, only because I didn't get my sheet, because this is an impromptu episode. Figured I'd slap you on the microphone real quick. What is, William, what is your Instagram?
Mine is just William Stern.
At just William Stern.
That's right.
What's yours?
At Dean Lulkin.
At just William Stern. And then yours is at Dean Lulkin.
Yep.
How you spell that?
LYULKIN. I feel like I'm in fifth grade with my son.
LYULKIN.
Yep.
Lulkin.
Wow.
And what's yours?
Mine's Don't Buy Real Estate.
At Don't Buy Real Estate. Yeah. Well, that's the reverse psychology.
It's worked out.
Aren't you in real estate?
Yeah.
And you guys are in banking.
That's right.
Financial. Banking,
funding.
Financial lending business.
Real money lending.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, again, folks, the main reason I wanted you two on the podcast and then found out you had a little tag.
That's all I do.
But I got some real estate questions.
Let's do it.
Yeah. But the main reason is because, listen, I got a lot of entrepreneurs, small businesses out there hustling, learning. I've started a lot of businesses with my podcast. People hit me up all the time. They're like, Brad, because of you, I started this business. Because of you, I'm in business for myself. I tell people, man, I don't think they should be W-2 people. You're kind of limited that way. But hey, not everybody's cut out for fucking entrepreneurship. Not everybody's cut out to risk it. But if you want the biscuit, you need to risk it.
I like that.
And part of risking it is sometimes you're going to run out of dough, run out of money. And although I do value my podcast, right? I think advice and guidance and mentorship and coaching is valuable. I wish I would have been smart enough to go after it. I had to learn everything the hard way. But, you know, sometimes you don't need guidance, man. You need money. You know, I got my rent due. I got my payroll due. I got shit happening. I got problems. I want to blow up. I want to scale before I'm ready. But I know if I had the money, I could make a shit ton more. Why? Because I could market more. I could hire more salespeople. I could expand territories. I could do all kinds of shit. And so money is needed, which is why I have you guys here. Yeah. Banking guys. Now, how long have you guys been doing this?
Since 2004, so 20 years.
And you guys have lent out how much money?
$8 billion. Wow, over $8
billion. Over $8 billion.
With a B.
With a B.
It's a lot of money.
It's fucking a lot of money.
It is a lot of money.
Have you ever loaned out $1 billion to one person?
No.
No. What is your max?
I think the most we've probably ever lent at once is probably, over $1 million, but not much more than that.
And that's rare.
Yeah.
So if my listeners are like, dude, I could use some money.
Yeah.
What's the normal amount that you're looking to lend? Like, I don't want people that need $20 million calling you if you guys don't lend $20 million.
Our typical customer has probably $3 million in revenue or under. That's kind of like the prototypical customer.
Okay, so exactly the people I like to help, because to me, those are small businesses. Those guys need some breaks. So anyway, FYI, Dropping Bombs, you guys have a website you can go to, realmoneylending.com. realmoneylending.com. If you need a loan, go to realmoneylending.com. It takes about a minute and a half to fill out the form, and then people will reach out and get you quickly qualified. You don't need collateral, right?
No.
They're not looking for collateral. Sometimes you don't even need stellar credit. You can't be a deadbeat. There are certain rules that they, you know, you can't qualify. But other than that, dude, I've seen a lot of people qualify that I don't think necessarily should have been qualified for $200,000, $250,000, $150,000.
That's right.
So anyway, a lot of people out there sometimes need money. Now, the most, I would say, available money out there are those ridiculously high, high returns because they're not even loans. They call it like a, you know, they're buying, they're just massive. Like you borrow $100,000, dude, you got to pay back $500,000. It's ridiculous. I don't even know how they get away with it. So I thought, hey, since you guys loan a bunch of people money and you guys been in the banking industry, I have a whole bunch of questions, but more importantly, I can tell the bomb squad that if they need a loan, which a lot of them do, I'll bet, they need to go to Real Money Lending, fill out the damn form, and let's rock and roll. Worst case scenario, you say pass. Best case scenario, you hit accept. How fast will they be funded?
Yeah, I mean, it's approval in minutes and funding same day. So it's unheard of. I mean, you can't walk into Bank of America and get a business loan.
No, so if somebody's sitting right there, man, they got payroll coming up in 8 days, they just don't know how they're going to make it.
Yeah.
They can borrow it from you.
Wire's going to be there in 24 hours.
24 hours, folks. Don't say Brad Lee never gave you nothing, Bomb Squad. Now I'm giving you money, for Pete's sake. Okay, so good. Let's go back to the beginning. And again, what do you do?
My perception. When do we drop the bombs?
Whenever you say something that people need to pay attention to.
Okay, all right.
Guess who gets to decide where the bombs
are? I'm guessing not us.
Hey.
I like that.
Boom. You better fucking hear that.
That's fucking great.
It's funny, too, because people come on here, like, you know, sometimes, like, you know, everybody knows who they are, and the whole time they're just wanting me to drop a bomb. And then if I don't, they'll be like, hey, you know, how do I get a bomb? I'm like, fucking, I decide that.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, sorry.
Say something interesting.
I'm going
to
drop a bomb.
It's not necessarily interesting. The bomb's supposed to be when you say something that people better pay attention to.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? You know, you can't get rich making poor choices. Better pay attention to that.
It's pretty good.
Because a lot of people make poor choices and they think they're going to get rich. They don't. But anyway, so I'm going to get to you, though, because you're basically don't buy real estate guy, but you're in real estate.
Yep.
How'd you get in real estate?
My dad forced me to when I was 18. That was like 20 years ago, and I've been doing it ever since.
Aren't you thankful he did?
I don't know. Sometimes it's a pain in the ass, but yeah, I mean, monetarily I am. It's helped out a lot.
Did you make a bunch of money doing it?
I've made a lot of money doing it, and we do fix and flips and help people buy and sell and mortgages, so the money's coming in, and everything's working out perfectly.
So you do it, or you don't teach it?
I try to teach it to people who want to learn it. I don't sell like courses or anything. We'll talk to you about that later, but.
Well, you should have courses.
Yeah.
If you want to monetize your knowledge, dude, I'll show you how to do that in a big way. But right now you're actually doing it. Like that's how you make your money. You're out there doing it.
Fixing and flipping stuff. I'm going to projects. I'm doing it all. Yeah. It's fun stuff.
You ever need money for those flips?
Of course I need money for those.
All right.
Nowhere to go.
Real Money Lending. Real Money Lending.
Qualified?
RealMoneyLending.com.
There we go.
This episode is brought to you by RealMoneyLending.com. I might like freaking turn out to make a Super Bowl commercial. That just sounds good. Real Money.
Wait,
Lending.
They did the math? We did the math on it. It works out.
Yeah.
In a previous episode on our podcast, we looked at the cost for a Super Bowl commercial. I'm Jewish. I kind of want to like understand all the math behind it. It's like, yeah, it's not that expensive, ignoring the cost of production. And then the lead funnel ends up working out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
you could do it.
So you two, again, a long time ago, you guys besties from frickin' synagogue or something. You know?
Yeah, dude.
What was it called?
Fifth grade and fourth grade.
School. Yeah.
Hebrew school.
Yeah. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, that's what we call it.
What do you just call it? School?
Mazel Yev. Yeah, like do Chinese people call it Chinese food or they just call it food?
They just call it food.
It's like Bible school, right?
If you spin an Oriental counterclockwise, do they become disoriented?
Oh, interesting.
That's a bomb. That's bomb worthy.
You got to push the button. And
somebody
decides.
So why do you park in a driveway and drive in a parkway? Doesn't make any sense. But anyway, you guys met at school when you were kids.
We did, yeah.
And been friends ever since.
We have been.
So at some point in time, you guys had to say, hey, let's get into banking. Like who the fuck thinks of that? What happened? What's the story?
Well, I think, you know, from the very beginning, we always liked money.
Don't we all?
Aaron hit the button, dude.
He just
hits the button.
Don't even get a.
Don't we all?
Yeah. I think we do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Came from nothing, right? Not both of us, right? But we grew up, you know, middle class.
You started from the bottom. Now we're here. Where is here, by the way?
Here's in San Diego, California.
No. Where's here? Are you guys
actually
billionaires?
No.
If we were to.
You want to be?
I don't know.
Yeah.
20-year business. If you were to sell it, what would it be worth?
Hundreds of millions of dollars.
Why don't you want to sell it?
Because I'm in my 40s. I'm in my early 40s, and, you know.
We're not ready yet.
We're not yet.
Not only that, people always ask me sometimes, why don't you sell this? I'm 55.
Okay.
I'm getting closer, but I always used to say when everyone would ask me that, because what would I do with the money?
Yeah, it's,
I'd be looking to invest it in a business like I got.
Yeah.
So like, why would I want to sell the cash cow that I'm building?
We see tons of people, tons smart people sell their business, invest the money in something stupid.
And lose it.
And go back to figuring out what kind of business to run.
Yeah. Yeah. Just out of curiosity, if there's ever any like really wealthy people, because there are some that listen to the show, and they wanted to start a fund to loan money to businesses.
Sure.
What's the possibility of that? They can go to Real Money Lending and hit, no, just DM me the word Big Shot.
Real motherfucker.
Just Big Shot. Because again, I mean, exactly. Dude, somebody, you know, if you guys got this thing down to a science where it's worth, you know, the dough that it's worth, it's obviously an investable thing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
it is. I mean, we don't even raise equity, right? We just raise debt. And we pay 10 to 15% coupons on that debt to high net worth
people. Yeah, well, I think there might be a few of those following too, where like, they don't need a fucking loan, bro. They can loan you some money. Yeah. So the question is, you know, where are they? DM me the word Big Shot.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it. Because again, I'm thinking about, you know, your bigger picture you were talking about.
Yeah.
Where it's my money that we're loaning instead of yours. I'd rather start with yours.
But we like talking about small businesses.
Well, I want to start with yours.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
See how it goes.
Okay.
And you guys are willing to loan? What is there? There's no limit. So if I have 10,000 freaking bomb squad members that they all apply and they all get approved for $250,000 a piece, and it's $250 million. What is that? $250 million or $2.5 billion?
Let's fucking go.
What's 10,000 times 250,000? You got a phone? Let's ask Siri. Siri.
$2.5 billion, right?
Yeah, it should be $2.5 billion.
Yeah.
Do you guys have that kind of money just laying around?
Oh, we'll come up with it.
Yeah.
The money is there.
Absolutely.
There is no limitation.
Yeah, there's not.
This is unbelievable, because everybody needs a loan. And again, I already know the numbers, because I've already seen you guys loan some people that I know money.
Yeah.
And you're not even raking them over the coals. Like, usually... this is uncollateralized money.
It needs to be affordable. And it needs to be affordable so that business owners can grow and thrive, right?
So you get your money back and they loan, they borrow money again.
And they borrow again. Because it's like a, you know, bad example, but like a drug dealer, right? Like, what good is it if they give somebody a hot dose and kill them, right? We don't want to give people too much. Okay, bad comparison, bad analogy.
Yeah, that's not getting to a bar.
Yeah.
Well, you don't want them to go out of business trying to repay a loan.
And the idea is we don't want to give them too much, right? To the extent where they don't know what to do with it, right? But we also don't want to lend it to them at a rate that they can't cash flow.
Yeah. So again, I mean, it's not even bad, folks. If you're wondering, you know, what would you do? Number one, if I were in this situation, I would have, if I could reverse, I would have borrowed some money to put towards marketing, because I had marketing that was working, but I had to slowly grow and scale because I didn't have a big chunk of money. So I had to market, get some back, but I still had to pay bills and payroll and lights. So I could never like take it all and put it in there, but I had a profitable marketing method. So had I took a loan and dumped all that money in, more than likely I would have got 3 times my money back.
Yeah, it's the old adage, right? Like buy versus build. You know, when you're a small business owner and you're undercapitalized, if you don't borrow, then it's a lot of building. And building takes a long time. You pour a slab, you wait for it to dry, you bring in a contractor, and eventually 6 months later, you've got something to show. But maybe opportunities passed since then.
Okay, so where'd you guys start? You were in school, you were buddies, you were talking one day, and like this had to start someday.
Yeah.
When did it start?
Yeah, it was a good story. It started in 2003. I had worked in the corporate finance industry and I wanted to do it on my own.
Were you all serious and shit?
Yeah. Then? Suits and ties and, you know, mailboxes. Do you remember mailboxes, by the way? The old days where you like go in a room and there's like mailboxes. That's how long ago this was. And you were a cold caller, right? You would cold call middle market companies with like, I don't know, 50 to 150 million in revenue. And you'd ask them if they want to borrow some money.
Did you have their credit before you asked them?
Back then, no, right? And then things modernized to the extent where you could take a data set. This isn't interesting, so, but I'll nerd out for a second. You could take a data set, like a group of data, and then you could run it through like Dun & Bradstreet, right? And you would see like what somebody's Paydex score, which is like a commercial, like business credit score. And then you could pre-qualify people. And you could, like you were talking about, like marketing, you could dump a bunch of direct mail on them.
I get mail all the time that says, hey, you want money? You're pre-approved. You have money. I got people calling me saying, hey, that $350,000 is approved.
Yeah.
When can I send it to you? And I'm like, is this a scam? I didn't apply for 350 grand.
No, it's just that they run your like they run your business credit and then they pre-qualify you.
Well, I'd be qualified for more than that.
Yeah. Well, but again, it's that.
I think it's a scam. My Dun & Bradstreet dude.
80.
I bet better.
I think, but they take a guess, right? They figure how many employees.
I got great scores. I pay people on time. You know, I pay people too damn quick.
You should slow that down.
I damn near, dude, I'm telling you, you ever heard of Keith Cunningham?
No. Does he play the harmonica?
He does what's called the 4-day MBA. You ever heard of Rich Dad, Poor Dad?
Yeah.
He's the rich dad.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Literally.
Okay.
So he has this software that I use and you know, he teaches business mastery for Tony Robbins at the business mastery event every year. He's made a ton of dough. Smart dude. Hmm. He said, you want to pay bills as late as you can without getting any credit issues or anybody pissed off.
Yeah.
And you want to receive money as fast as humanly possible. And I'm like, well, duh, that's obvious. But he told me, like, tell your, because my payroll or my numbers in the software said that I paid on an average of 3 days. So you send me a bill, I'm paying it within 72 hours.
Yeah, it's not a good idea.
He said, dude, that is unbelievably fast.
Right.
And I said,
do that.
Because I like good credit.
No, he's a good person.
Like, I'll pull up my credit right now and I'll bet you I'm at 820 at least.
Yeah.
Why? Well, because, dude, I like good credit. To me, that's your reputation, bro. To me, if you got shitty credit, dude, you don't pay people like you said you would.
Yeah, but, you know, it's interesting to, like, segue into sort of giving business credit advice. You're a good dude, right? You were raised right, and maybe that's why you...
I wasn't raised right.
Okay. No. Well... That's a topic for another day.
I didn't
day.
Go to Hebrew school.
We already said we're going to adopt you.
We just went there to giggle.
But the reality is that you're not alone in your thought. A lot of business owners are so overwhelmed with the concept that we have to pay this quickly or else. In the reality, you can stretch everything to 90 days, and they probably should.
Well, from a cash flow perspective and bank balance and your balance sheet? Absolutely. It makes a massive difference.
But you want to keep...
What if someone does that to you?
That doesn't work so well. That will work out so well.
Like, you know, Cardiff's a pretty nice company to work with. Like, if someone calls us up and says, hey, and we've got a department to handle these types of calls, but they say, hey, I'm having some problems. What can you guys do to help? We're there for them. Right? Because we care about the small business.
You don't send out Tony from New Jersey.
No, to break their knees.
That's what I thought this dude was for. Oh, me. Big, right?
The muscle.
He just shows up and says, hey, you owe the money.
But I think the reality is, if I was going to give business owners small business advice about sort of the debits and credits, right? Pay people when you can, but keep the line of communication open.
Yeah, communicate, definitely.
Right?
Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, see?
That's the only time deals go.
Oh, you got a mom.
I got one. Well, we got one.
Because people need to pay attention. I know people that have been in trouble. I've been in trouble, but not like for years and years and years and years. Like when I started my company, dude, I literally had car payments due, and I decided to make fucking payroll. Why? Well, because the business needs to stay around, and my car can be hidden.
That's another thing, right? For business owners, for their vehicles, don't put it in your name. Put it in the business's name. Don't personally guarantee. Build your business credit up and then start getting vehicles under the company.
Yeah.
Right? And then, you know.
But why did you decide on paying the employee first?
Well, because, dude, if I didn't have employees and I didn't have a business, and not only that, because, dude, they're relying on me.
Yeah.
You, they got families and people to feed and shit, and I'm worried about my car, which was probably, you know, a little bit nicer than I probably should have had at the time.
Yeah, that's the lifestyle business.
So you're a nice guy. I mean,
well, no, I would. Well, I'm a responsible guy. Yeah. But, dude, listen, there's a lot of responsible businesses that get into trouble.
Yep.
And all they need, that's why I started this whole podcast, because, I mean, the one this, you guys are on, because.
Yeah.
I tell people, everyone says, oh, man, you gave me such good advice, and all your guests are so great, and they taught me this, and they taught me that. And listen, lessons are cool, but sometimes, dude, all the lessons in the world ain't going to solve the problem. You know what's going to solve the problem? A check.
Yeah.
Oh.
A wire in the bank account, right in the nick of time.
Yep.
Especially if you're a thriving business that just doesn't have enough to grow and scale as quickly as you'd like me. Had I got money back in the day, I would have grown to where I eventually got to on my own quicker. But I had to, you know, live on the money that I was making,
right,
and try and scale, where I didn't have anybody that would loan me money. And I didn't really know that I could go borrow it either. You know, when I went to our bank, because I tried, I'm like, shit, they'll loan us money. Go to Bank of America. I filled it out and they had me fill out all this paper. And they're like, no.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, what do you mean fucking no? They're like, no, we have a SaaS, we have, you know, intellectual property that's, yeah, kind of intangible.
Yeah.
And then everything we had was leased and in debt, and, you know, we had revenue though.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're like, no. And I'm like, fuck, I don't understand. How are all these idiots getting loans? I didn't know how to get a loan.
And the leverage is the rocket fuel, right? If you're using debt for the right reasons, right? Open up a second location, hire more sales folks, do marketing, then the money is, it's rocket fuel to your growth, right? And to not do it, to not double down on what your passion is, what you're good at, what makes money, it's a huge oversight. It's the biggest mistake any business owner makes.
So what do people do with this money?
They do two things, right? You got to solve problems or take opportunities. So you got two
grow things, and right? Scale or save.
I don't know about save, but
yeah, you're saving, really, you save their ass, dude.
Save,
listen to,
ass. Oh, save their ass. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
because, I mean, if you gave me money right in the nick of time, dude, you're saving my ass.
Brad, to give you some sense, right? One out of three of our customers are in the construction business.
Yeah.
They can be general contractors. They can be specialty contractors.
They got 90-day net contracts. They can't swing it. It's like a bridge loan.
And they're getting paid late.
That's right.
Right? They're getting pushed by the government. They're getting pushed by the customers.
They're getting pushed by Keith Cunningham's customers.
There you go. Right,
they're trying to get paid later.
They got
like you said, 90 days.
It should be
so people can get a bridge loan too.
But here's the deal, like to Dean's point, right? If you're a contractor, and let's say, for example, somebody's going to purchase a container of like stone for countertops.
Yeah,
it's a great example.
Well, if they do that, DM me the word marble or stone.
Marble is better.
Well, I can get the best deals on stone and marble because my buddy owns Marble Express.
Well, there you go.
And like he supplies all the casinos and like a lot of big ass construction. So I always tell, I'm joking, don't DM me Marvel, but I can get like the best deal you've ever seen on marble. I can get it. And dude, there's markup in marble and stone.
And that's the thing, right? If you can get a container of marble or stone at 50% of what you would normally pay, that's a huge opportunity.
I can.
Yeah. Well, one. I saw you've got barbecuers. You got all sorts of stuff.
Badassbarbecues.com. By the way, that's one I never talk about much.
I see it on your story, though.
Well, that's because a guy, a buddy of mine that does backyards, he designs backyards. He's really good. Had all the relationships with all the barbecue manufacturers. And I'm like, dude, anybody would want a badass barbecue. Yeah. And he said, well, we should start a barbecue company. And I said, what do you want to call it? He said, Badass Barbecues. And I said, cool, that sounds cool. And not only that, like I can get wholesale shit for myself.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't realize, you know, if you buy Badass Barbecues, you don't need them every year. So pretty soon you don't need anything. So it's not a repeat business. You need to let everyone know. He said, what hooked me was he said, you ever heard of, I won't say the name, but it is called Mubby Three Guys. Anyway, those guys sold for $900 million.
Yeah.
And all they did was put up a website, advertise it, and people started buying barbecues there.
Yeah.
And they weren't even their barbecues. It's everybody else's barbecues. The same barbecues I can get. And I was like, well, shit, dude, we should do that. Plus, I love steaks and killer meat. So I sourced and started Badass Butcher.
I saw that on your story, too.
Yeah, Badass Butcher, Badass Barbecues, dude. Be the king of the backyard. So anyway, anybody in the Ball Squad needs a barbecue. We've now launched badassbarbecues.com. This is turning out to be a freaking commercial.
This whole thing is a commercial.
It's okay, Dion. Listen, I don't sell shit and I don't advertise and I don't promote. So if the listeners are pissed that I'm giving them good deals, then tell them to go listen to somebody else. How about that?
I like that.
Yeah. Going back, how are you 55?
But I like Badass Barbecues. I like badassbutcher.com. That's where you get your meat subscription. Because, dude, why would you have a badass barbecue and then no meat to put on it?
It's good. Yeah, it's good.
And I'm talking about good quality, no bullshit meat.
Grass-fed.
Dude, listen, the best meat you ever had. Trust me.
Elk?
Oh, I've had some.
Anything you want, but mainly beef.
What meat do you like to put in your mouth mostly?
Alligator.
It's a loaded question.
Yeah.
You know, mostly seasoning bison.
Oh, I've seen some weirder meat go into your mouth.
So you guys have been friends forever. You might have experimented back in Hebrew school.
I mean, listen, one time I fed this guy a venison burger. He wouldn't eat anything other than beef. So me and his girlfriend, we colluded.
By the way, whore. Continue.
Sorry, Christine.
What's a moyer?
Oh, where?
Like a moil?
Yeah, moil.
A moil? The guy that cuts the foreskin?
Yeah.
Yeah. They also suck the blood out of the
nanobar. Listen, there was a Jewish guy I knew that said he was a moil.
That's it.
And he would cut the foreskins and he would keep them.
Here.
I said, what do you do with them? He said, well, he pulled it out and he freaking handed me like a wallet. And I said, oh, you made a wallet out of foreskin? He said, lick it, turns into a suitcase.
Lampshades everything. I love it. Those jokes are not wasted on
me. By the way,
yeah,
you guys realize Jewish people are not the only people that get circumcised, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, good.
Yeah, and Josh, are you circumcised?
I'm circumcised.
Yeah, he's North African,
too, right?
He's Egyptian. And Muslim.
So are you Egyptian?
I'm Egyptian, yeah.
North African. Let me out of be?
Shoya. How do you?
Antamarati Masri.
Oh, really? Nice. Cool. Good work.
We're learning stuff right now.
And the Kalami Arabi?
Okay.
They you speak Arabic?
No.
And the Majnun?
I speak Russian.
Voila! You speak Russian?
I speak
Russian. Das Vodanya.
This guy's pretty good, dude.
That's pretty good.
Well, I can speak like a bunch of languages, but only a couple words.
That's pretty good.
That's good.
Hey, let's get back to it, though, because I wanted to, there are entrepreneurs listening to how to get past problems and grow their business. So again, you guys, you started out a couple of fucking schlubs, you said.
Yeah, we weren't born into wealth.
But eventually, you were working at a corporate banking job, and then eventually you said what? Like, hey, you want to start, Dean?
Yeah, I mean,
get that meat out of your mouth. Let's get down to business.
Dark meat.
What did you say, though?
What? We lived in the Bay Area, and I moved out of Southern California to start Cardiff. And
why Cardiff?
Cardiff, there's no real good answer. Sounded fancy. It sounds fancy. We'll leave it there.
Yeah.
Sounds like
British.
Sounds yeah.
It
sounds like you're from Cardiff, England.
It is. It's the capital of Wales.
And you know, the people from Cardiff told us that that's some stupid.
It's like Henderson, Nevada or something. Where were we? We were in Vegas. Yeah. We were sitting next to some British guys and they're like,
that's a shithole.
Yeah. It was a coal mining town.
Well, you don't need to listen to the British.
No.
They sound good, but as soon as you see them and talk to them, especially the ones that I met from London.
Yeah.
It seems like they need some fluoride or something.
Ew. Bad teeth smell like cabbage shoes.
I'm just, you know, that's what they say about it.
But yeah. But
I don't think so. I always think when you have a British accent, you sound intelligent. And when you have a hick country accent, you sound like a dipshit. So like, which is not true.
No,
definitely a very smart dude. Walk me, go, blah, blah, blah. And you know, you're thinking, oh, dude, this guy's got to be dumber and shit. Smart as hell. People always say I sound like I'm Southern and I'm twangy. So I always sound, you know, kind of on the dumb side. When in reality, no, sir, I'm not.
Yeah.
But you listen to a Brit or someone from, you know, London, they sound smart even though they may be stupid.
Interesting.
They do?
Yeah.
Accents, dude. Stereotypes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he started the company.
Back on the subject.
Yeah, he started the company, and I joined him, maybe 2 or 3 years later. And it took us a few years to kind of get our bearings, and then the financial crisis hit. And that was, the first most difficult situation we put ourselves in. We had to get through that. We had to lay off a bunch of our employees.
How many did you have?
I don't know. We probably had close to 100 at that time.
Well, that's a big size company.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you just grew it yourself.
Yeah. Organically. Slowly.
How did you start, though? You just formed a company, started knocking on doors?
We were cold calling. Oh. We were cold calling.
And you were saying, you want a loan? How'd you have the money to loan people?
The way we started it was, it's a good question. The way we started is we would call people that sold equipment, right? So, a guy who sells backhoes or a guy who sells Bobcats would say, do you have any customers coming in?
You know what a Bobcat's called, by the way?
A hoe? A backhoe?
No. Do you know what they're called?
No.
Do you?
Mini excavator?
I want to know.
I just learned the other day, and I never knew that. I would always call them a Bobcat.
Yeah.
They're called a skisteer.
Ah, yes. Okay, so we did know that. Yeah.
So you were calling on these guys saying, hey, you need some equipment financing, you need some money, but whose money was it?
No, at that point, it was all brokered, kind of like a mortgage broker.
So you went and found people that are willing to loan money, and you just was loaning someone else's money.
Like a super connector, right?
And then that grew, and then pretty soon you had your own money.
That's right.
Yeah. And then you started like saying, hey, wait a minute, we don't need everybody else's money. We can create a pool of money that's unlimited and so deep.
That took a long time.
Bradley.
Yeah. It took a long time. It took 20 years.
Yeah.
It took 20 years, but
you're an overnight success then.
Yeah, right. Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
But that was the trick. We would call people and see if they had customers, right? Because there's so many different ways to skin a cat in business. You can cold call people and ask them if they want to borrow money, or you can cold call the people who sell the equipment and they're doing the work for you, right? So all these people are coming into a dealer, like a John Deere dealer or a Bobcat dealer. And they're saying, hey, I want to buy this. And they're saying, well, do you have cash? They said, no. All right, well, call Cardiff. And they have them fill out an application. And back then it was all fax machines and stuff. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
But that was collateral though, too.
Yeah, those were the easiest deals to do. And then we just, look at their credit and go, all right, we'll sell it to this bank. And the bank would just pay us the present value of that loan straight. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah. And it was easy.
You were finding the loans and selling the paper to the banks
immediately, kind of like a mortgage broker. Yeah, but more profit.
But why? How'd you think of that though? Just because you were in your corporate job and you watched what they were doing.
Yeah,
because I always wonder how do people get into what they're into.
It's like when you work at a big company, if you ask a lot of questions, if you're annoying, and you like try to make friends in all these different departments, then you just get exposure to all these different corners of the business, whether it's marketing or payroll or HR or sales, even like the corporate banking side, you just start to understand things. And that's what I did. I was that nosy kid who wanted to know how everything worked.
And some businesses have lower barriers to entry than others, right? So for us, making decisions like that, we looked at a couple of different businesses in finance. Right. So we both worked at Fisher Investments. You look at that, you got a billionaire who is a writer in Forbes. I don't think that was an easy path for us to try to replicate, right? To get investors to invest with a bunch of 20-something-year-olds who don't write for Forbes. But we look at a business like commercial finance and say, wow, this is, I don't know, what is there? 30 million small businesses in America. And they get to choose who they do business with. And there's nobody out there that has a brand name in this business. So a small business owner doesn't know Cardiff from anybody else. So it's a opportunity right for the taking, right? Kind of like construction. It's another business, right? You can start, not very high barriers to entry. So that's how we figured it out.
So then we added a credit card. And that was another like pivotal moment for us. So we added like a business credit card, which again, if you're a business owner, right, stop getting credit cards in your name, right? Get a credit card in the company's name. Use it, pay it off. Use it, pay it off. Request a higher limit. We'll keep doing that. Rinse and repeat. Get one, get another. Get one, get another. And soon enough, right, you've built some real business credit.
Yeah, if we want to drop some bombs, right, when we're talking about the financial crisis, some of your listeners are going to be old enough to remember.
Yeah.
And some are probably going to be a little bit young. They're probably like in high school or something. But what happened in 2007? Well, the banks said, fuck you, to every small business owner in America, right, together with the government, and essentially shut them out. So for the last 15 years, 17 years, small business owners cannot walk into a bank and get a loan. Right? It just doesn't happen. Why? Who are they lending money to? Businesses with $500 million in revenue. They're not talking to guys with $5 million in revenue. They're not talking to guys with $500,000 in revenue. Want nothing to do with it.
They weren't talking to me.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we're so proud to be filling that void, right? And Cardiff does that amazingly well because we actually give a shit, right, about these small businesses because they probably employ 30, 40 million people. Right? Out of the, what, 150 million people that work in America?
Yeah.
This is an amazing country. And who's there for them, right? Certainly not the banks.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just wondering, like, is there, because I'm thinking, man, if I'm listening to this and I'm back like I used to, I'd be going to realmoneylending.com and filling out my shit.
Yeah, that's what we used
to see how much I would get. I don't have to take it, but I want to see how much I get. Like, you ever see that American Express thing that you can see? I forget what it's called, but you say
the limit check.
Yeah, like, yeah. You know, can I spend this much? I always go there just to see what I could spend.
Oh, the three,
my platinum card. Like, it'll let me spend $350, it says. But when I try to put in would a $400,000 approve? They go, no.
Yeah.
I go, would $350,000 approve? They go, yes. It's like, why not $400,000?
Well, interestingly enough, you can call them and get them to raise that limit. So if you've ever used that little...
Well, it's a no spending limit.
Well, that's a charge card, right? The corporate Amex card, the black card, the blue card, the green card, all those are charge cards. They don't even count on your business credit as a credit card. So if you're a small business owner and you're looking to build business credit, sure, you can take the Amex route. But from our perspective, we still look at it as a charge card. Lenders do. You want to go out there and get the Chase Sapphire business card.
Yeah.
Right? The Bank of America business card. Yeah, the ink card, right? You want to start, and again, it's like a little bit of...
How many cards do you need, though?
I use Cardiff Black Card, mine, and...
You have business cards people can apply for?
We do.
Yeah. At realmoneylending.com?
Why not?
Our credit cards are pretty good.
Well, again, I mean, like, dude, listen, credit cards are handy.
Yeah.
You know, and most of those are freaking, you know, hard to get, too, when you're in your business name.
Yeah.
But to me, it's like, dude, having a line of credit... I don't have to use it just because I have it.
Yeah.
I can have a credit card that doesn't cost me anything a month if I'm not using it, but I have it in case I need it. I like that.
Yeah, it's one of those better to not need me and know me.
Like a gun. It's better to have one and not need it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, absolutely. But yeah.
What about like Facebook ads and shit like that? Because, you know, what pisses me off about my credit cards that we use for some of the Facebook advertising?
Yeah.
Dude, our limits aren't even very much. We're maybe at 1,000 a day. We're just starting to advertise. And every freaking day I get a freaking flag from the credit card because it's whacking. You know, they Meta whacks you like all day, every day. Yeah, you know, flags the card. It's like, dude, I call them when I go, look, this is being used for Facebook ads. Can you let it run? It's no more than 1,000 a day. I'm way under my limit. But dude, they just, for some reason, every other day it flags it and I have to literally go in there and reset it and my ads stop.
Is it tied to your Amex?
What?
The Meta ads.
Yeah.
Oh. And have you told Amex?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Well, we got to give a shout out to Ramp, right? There's great company out there. It's an amazing credit card product, kind of a new technology focused credit card product. It's competing with Amex.
This motherfucker,
right? Wow.
Doing free plugs.
Free plugs for Ramp.
Dude, Ramp?
For him.
R-A-M-P, yeah.
Can you get that at Real Money Lending?
Yeah, it's, you know what?
We'll get it on there.
It's a couple of guys who worked for Amex who left. And they're like, fuck this, we'll start our own. And they called it Ramp. And they have a few competitors, right?
Yeah.
I'm not paid by them. I'm not going to endorse them. B-R-E-X.
Yep.
Rippling. Rippling, R-I-P-P.
These are fantastic products.
Those are great products, absolutely. And it's
there's one out there I saw, and I don't know what it is, but it was called like the Founders Card or some shit like
that. That's bullshit. That's just like white labeled crap.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you guys made it through the tumultuous times.
COVID.
Did you guys ever have any rough times we could share or no?
Dude, COVID was horrible.
Why?
I mean, imagine in March of 2020, right? 2020?
Mm-hmm.
The world ends.
Yeah.
We are told that, like, the world's close to ending. Everyone's going to get sick. So what happens? People aren't allowed to walk into small businesses. Are we going to lend money?
That's
in April?
We really needed to lend money.
Right, but we can't because in April, we're worried that there will be no more revenue. Restaurants, construction companies, everyone's shut down. And so literally for 3 months, there is almost no activity. I mean, it was one of the scariest times we ever got.
Then we realized it was bullshit.
Right, but imagine
everybody started making money and lines out of Louis Vuitton through the roof. Did you ever see that?
Yeah.
Like, dude, I'd go to Louis Vuitton and Tom Ford and all the bullshit places, and they had ropes up and letting people in because they're overcrowded. And literally, those lines around the block, and they had such attitudes, these people, these stores, these brands. Pissed me off, too, because, like, dude, how dare you treat everybody like cattle just because they want to get it? And more importantly, where's everyone getting all this money? Well, they were printing it, dude.
Out of helicopters.
Yeah, dude, listen, I did not get mad at that.
Remember, that didn't happen for a few months.
You remember the PPP?
Right.
Yeah. Dude, they told me, well, if you did, you can fill out this form. I filled out the form, got $1 million too.
Yeah.
Cha-ching. And then they forgave it. So basically, I got $1 million too free.
But what'd you do with it?
I'm like, well, you had to pay rent and do your shit. But I mean, like, where's the program? Let me sign up.
Did your wife become one of the employees at that time?
No.
No?
No, dude, I don't fuck around, dude. I'm serious. You know what's funny is I put it in a separate account, and after, you know, it was already doing its thing, I thought, I wonder how they can't necessarily tell where it went. I put it in a separate account and paid it out of that account, so there was a freaking paper trail.
Yeah.
I don't like freaking, you know, audits and stupidity. Like, dude, if they came in, I don't want no fucking trouble.
Yeah.
Because, dude, if you screw around, then you got to pay it back.
I think for when you mess with the government specifically, and it's over a certain threshold, you're on the radar. Right? If you got a PPP for 10 grand, it's just not worth their time.
Oh, there's people out there that scammed them and they're getting cracked, I'm telling you.
Yeah, right now. Get $1.2 million, that's on their radar.
Not to the government, dude. That's a freaking rounding error. They don't give a rat's dick about chump change like that, dude. They're sending billions all over the country.
Yeah.
But hey, here's my point for bomb squatters. Pay your taxes. Don't fuck the government. Keep clean records. If you're in business and you don't have clean books, dude, you can't sell. You got problems. Like I said, those people in the Northwest I invested in.
Yeah.
They can't give me clean books. And now they're saying, well, can we sell? You're not selling with no books, brother. You're not selling without clean records, man. You got to have clean records. You guys don't want to loan people if they don't have the right records, correct? You can't be just a ghost.
See, for us, it's a simpler problem to solve.
Why?
Because we use a thing called Plaid. It allows us to connect directly into their bank account.
Plaid?
Yep.
What's
Plaid?
But what is it?
It's a technology that allows businesses like ours to connect directly to a consumer's, or in this case, a business's bank account. So we see 12 months of history. We don't have to take anybody's word for it. We know exactly what's going on. That's why we can underwrite in a couple of hours to get your money.
Deposit money to my bank and I hook up the Plaid. You're telling me that whoever's supposed to be paying me can now see my bank account balance?
Absolutely.
Why?
Do you have Venmo?
To pay me?
Do you have Venmo?
Yeah.
Yeah, then you've used Plaid.
Well, no, you heard of Cardone, Grant Cardone?
Yeah.
Anyway, he has that freaking real estate fund and all that shit, and he was a buddy of mine and just freaking hounded me to give him money until I finally caved in and said, fine, here's some money.
Yeah.
And so they used to send me a check every month. Small one, but a little check every month.
And it's a coupon.
And now they're saying they only want to do it electronically, so go hook up your bank account. I'm like, cool, I'll fucking hook up my bank account. And then it was Plaid integrating me.
Yeah. Interesting.
And I'm like, well, why was he now he gets to see my bank account? Like, why should he be able to see my bank account?
There's no reason.
He owes me money. He's not lending me money.
Yeah. Just open
that up. Sounds very
just,
strange.
Yeah, just open up a separate account. Well, you know what they do? And I'm not saying that Grant Cardone right. does this, just FYI.
But it's Plaid that linked us.
And so he does get access to your bank data. What then he could do, this is not like an interesting podcast, I think, for most people, but I'll tell you what it could do. He gets 12 months worth of Bradley data, starts crunching the numbers, right? Builds like a little mathematical model and goes, Brad could borrow or Brad could loan me more money. So then it starts.
Or invest more money.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Yeah.
Right. Of course I could.
Yeah. Well, what I mean is like the mathematical model looks at your bank data.
But are you
sure?
Then
that's connected to email automation.
Oh, I get what you're saying.
You do.
I mean, are you sure it's like, in other words, if anybody has Plaid, they can see in your bank account.
That's the point.
That's because the point.
Otherwise, I would just ACH you money.
All he's saying is he just wants to wire it to me.
What does he need Plaid for? He's wiring.
Well, I'm going to go unconnect it. Can I unconnect it?
You can. Or you can just set up a separate account, right, that receives these ACHs. And that way, he can only see into that account. Because when you use Plaid, you can select what accounts you want to grant.
I already did, and it said we deposited 1 cent. So tomorrow, look in your bank, and there'll be a code with the 1 cent deposit, and then log back in and verify.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to verify, and I'm going to disconnect.
I think so.
I'm not doing it, G. You dirty dog, you. Anyway.
Smart guy.
Hey, top. Well, let's get to you real quick. Okay. We're running out of time.
Yeah, we got dinner.
Yeah, what are you doing here?
Honestly, I'm just here to have fun. I like to meet guys like you, protect these guys in the streets as their bodyguard. It's just fun.
But you're in real estate.
I'm in real estate, yeah.
All you do is flip houses.
I flip houses. I have a team of real estate agents who help people buy and sell. We do mortgages.
How can the Bomb Squad help you? How can you help the Bomb Squad?
I can help you guys learn how to flip homes. One, you can invest with me. We can flip homes as well as partner, like a partner deal. I can help you find a house to buy.
Where do they go? Real money lending?
Yes, dude. Absolutely out of there. Yeah. Oh, that's such a sexy fight.
He's good at the dude. Ramp and Messiah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, dude. Ramp, Messiah.
Sold.
Josh likes off-market deals.
Yeah.
So if any of the Bomb Squad people nationwide, they're like, I got this house. It was my grandma's, right? I just want out. I want to sell it right now. That's kind of like, that's, you know, not what you're
ready to DM me the words off-market.
I'm surprised these guys are friends with you.
Why?
They don't believe in the Messiah.
No. We do.
Wait, we do.
He hasn't come in.
He's still waiting.
Jesus is the Messiah.
Yeah.
That's right.
And by the way, you guys know his name wasn't even Jesus, right?
I heard you talk about that on some podcast.
Yeah, I think it was Josh.
People don't even know his name.
He was.
Yeah, his name
was
Josh.
His name is Josh. That was the point you made on that podcast. I saw that.
It would be Joshua today.
Yeah.
I'm going to get struck by lightning. Can you guys just calm down a little bit?
It's them. Those are the ones that are in trouble. If Yahshua is the Son of God.
We have a small disagreement.
Screwed.
What about the Mormons?
I think.
Oh, they're screwed. Well, they're not screwed either because they believe. They just got the name wrong.
What about the Scientologists?
Well, they got it down to a science.
Ooh, I like that. I was thinking of going in that direction just because I like the aerobic activity. I always make this joke to people. I really like Scientology. I don't know why we're getting into this. But there's nothing that makes me feel better than cardiovascular activity. And that is somehow directly connected to mental health. And that's one thing that Scientology just nails.
It does?
I don't know.
It's very Andy Elliott. I like that.
Andy Elliott's not Scientologist.
No, he just likes the physical exercise.
Cardone is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Huge.
Interesting. He must get a planet.
But what's it got to do with cardio?
I just remember them saying that you like hop on a treadmill and like you
can't. I am going to cancel.
Just send me your off market.
No offense to Scientologists. I'm very sorry.
Listen, anytime people ask me, because I was buddies with Grant for a while, and I look into all religions.
Sure.
That's why, again, I contemplated Judaism only because you guys stick together like freaking people should. Like, that's just smart to me.
Yeah, it's good for business.
You know, people should stick together. Just like, for example, us humans, if all the human race stuck together and quit allowing us to be all, you know, segregated and diversified, we'd be more powerful. Like the Constitution says, we the people run this country. We don't run the country because we the people don't stick together. But anyway, Scientology, people ask me about it because I looked into it as well.
Yeah.
And I say, go look for yourself. Why would you listen to me? Like, why would you listen to anybody? Go look for yourself. Make your own damn decisions. Don't listen to me about Judaism. Don't listen to me about freaking Catholicism. Don't listen to me about Christianity. Don't listen to me about any of that shit. Go look for yourself. That's my advice for all religions.
You're right. Kick the tires on it.
Yeah, go look for yourself. Why? Dude, why would you let someone else sway you if that's that important?
I mean, people want a tribe to belong to.
It's nonsense. It's stupidity. Go look for yourself. Just like it would be stupid for you not to get a loan from real money lending. That's so good.
I don't know if you'll ever air this, but it was funny.
Dude, I'll be airing this like tomorrow. Soon. Dude, there's people out there that need money. I'm going to help people get money. I'm going to help a lot of businesses. I'm hoping thousands of businesses will at least apply to see what they, and I'm not even joking. Anyone that listens to, and now again, it drops, a bunch of people listen, but over time, dude, people keep listening. I dropped one like 2-3 years ago, and people are still, you know, calling in from it and hitting the buttons and going to the websites and doing the deals that we talked about. So years later, like, it's still generating. So this is going to generate forever. If you're a small business and you need money, especially without collateral, without a bunch of kick-ass credit and hoops to jump through, go take 2 minutes, realmoneylending.com, fill out the damn app and see if you qualify. If you do, pull the trigger if you want it, need it. And if you don't, leave it hanging there. Like, you don't have to do it, but it's nice to know.
And how much can I borrow?
How much can I borrow?
Yeah, good question. 10 to 20% of your revenue.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
10 to 20% of your revenue.
And can you be a startup? The answer is no.
So if I'm making $1 million, I can borrow a couple hundred grand.
Easy.
Without collateral.
Approval in minutes, funding.
What if I'm doing 30 million?
Yeah.
But I mean, I'll get approved.
We get skeptical
if you're doing 30 million. We don't normally see any businesses.
Someone making $30 million don't need a loan.
No,
they do.
They do. Institutional facilities, right? It's a different cap table, if you will.
They've got equity and debt that they can access. They have investors. There are all sorts of avenues that they should be exploring that are not available to guys doing $1 million, $2 million, $3 million.
I will add this. I think this is a good place to end it on, probably. But what Brad's hiding, what he's not telling the bomb squad, is that if they ultimately end up funding a loan through realmoneylending.com, they can get a 15-minute coaching session with Brad.
Gratis. No, they cannot.
Damn it.
They would need the loan in order to pay for that.
Yeah. But you know what? Maybe we can tie the two together somehow where it's like in the app.
Dude, I ain't got time, first of all. Yeah. Second of all, 15 minutes is not going to do shit. They need at least an hour.
What is an hour? You're pretty powerful. I don't know.
What does that cost if they could get you?
Well, I don't do that.
And you have group ones, right?
Well, I mean, what I do here at Lightspeed is show subject matter experts and gurus, if you will, how to monetize their IP, like you.
Yeah, you got to get on that.
And so I create little coaching groups and mastermind calls and things like that to show them how to do it, because it's not difficult and you can make, you know, I'll probably do $200,000-$300,000 a month with these, you know, a call every other week.
So this is the vendor model. This is how we started Cardiff.
Well, no, but people want expertise. So I show like my clients an example of how to do it. I don't really do it though, but if someone called here and said, hey, I want to talk to Brad, I want to consult with Brad. I do. I'll tell my assistant, you know, it's $6,000 to get on a Zoom for an hour. But if I started getting them booked all the time, I don't have all the time. So I'd raise it to 60,000. Why? Well, because if people are buying it left and right, you're too cheap. It's like when I used to do keynotes, people would call me and say, how much? Now, keep in mind, keynotes are, you know, for some professional keynote speakers, 10 grand's a lot. So when they asked me, how much do you charge to come speak? I said, 25 grand. They go, boom.
Yeah.
Then people, I was like, damn, dude, that's cool. I wanted it. It was fun.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I'll do it. So 25 grand, people are booking me left and right, like at 25, 25, 25, 25. And then eventually I said, okay, well, I don't want to really do these anymore. And no one slowed down. And so I said, hey, it's 50. And they started going 50, 50, 50, 50. And I did like 31 or something last year at 50 grand. And I'm like, all right, 100. Now they're slowing down. So that means that's about where the price should be.
Yeah.
About 100 G's.
Yeah. Well, interestingly enough, if somebody wants to hire you, right, like you were saying, for those 1 hour coaching sessions, they can go to realmoneylending.com and get a loan for that coaching session.
Absolutely, dude.
Listen, use the money for something other than coaching. If you go get, I'll tell you what I will do.
Okay.
If you go to realmoneylending.com, put in an application, you get approved, and you get funded.
Yeah.
I will, you know, get on a call with you and try to, you know, tell you what to do with it or help you invest it or use it to grow and scale your business. Because again, a little bit of information helped that money go a long way. Okay. So, but you got to get approved. You got to get we got to have some reason to talk.
What website do they go to?
Realmoneylending.com.
Okay. Realmoneylending.com.
Folks.
Thank you.
As always, until next time. Hey, by the way, go follow these dudes. Okay. You got Dean Lyukin. Okay. It's real weird, but Dean, LYULKIN, at Dean Lyukin. You got freaking at Don't Buy Real Estate. Don't do it because he's doing it. Okay. And you got at Just William Stern.
That's right.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Just William Stern.
Nailed it, dude.
Did you take the Jeremy Minor sales training where you're just William?
Is that the guy who plays the harmonica?
No, Jeremy Minor, dude. He's an up-and-coming sales trainer that's like, you know, getting popular, and he teaches how you kind of downplay and it like mentally makes people like, right? Like when he calls, he'll say, yeah, how you doing? This is just Jeremy. Like, you know, we're over here just being bored.
I tell Dan Fleischer.
It works though. Yeah, like his shit works. I get people calling me like, dude, I made more money with his stuff. So again, Jeremy Minor, folks, 7th level. Go hit him up. Badassbarbecues.com, badassbutcher.com. This episode was brought to you by realmoneylending.com. Till next time, keep it real.